Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Hi, this is Larry Tamblyn from the Standells, and you're listening to Radio Like You Want.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want.
With your host, Mike Routier,
and Blag the Ripper.
Blag the Ripper, I've returned. Mad Mike Routier sits to my right. Mike, it is so fabulous to see you again. We were joined by Rock Royalty this week.
That's right. Rock Royalty blew into town, and Blag and I being huge fans.
We're huge!
Of the garage punk pioneers, the Standells. We had to get a piece of the action, so we called them up, and they said, hey, come on down to the studio. We're recording a new album in San Francisco. Why don't you hang out with us? Get the inside scoop, and
let's
do a little chitting and a little chatting.
We partied, man. We got a bunch of hookers. Core. We did a bunch of blow, and shit got... Well, wait a minute. Mike, you at the
yourself.
Same party as me. All right, everything got freaky with the Standells, and we are going to play you all kinds of crazy shit. Of course, got the features.
That's right, a little limited on the features because we're concentrating heavily on the Standells. We talked to them for a long, long time.
They came from the garage.
You know what's cool about the Standells is they live the rock and roll history of punk today. They got more battles with the moral majority. They got the sex. They got the drugs. They got the rock and roll.
What else could you possibly want?
Pre-chord wonders. So,
they
you
were
know,
on the Munsters, dude.
They were
on the
Munsters. I mean, come on, right there. So we talk about all that stuff. They got a lot of amazing stories to tell, and we're not holding back any of it. But we are going to do a little globetrotting. We got John Gentile's bringing us some new music. And, of course, we got a very special, another RIP estrogen OD. Guess who?
No, it didn't happen. Say it ain't so. Amy Winehouse. She is one of my all-time favorites. A great singer, but also one of the great lyricists of the modern age. Don't forget, don't sleep on Amy Winehouse just because she's sleeping on you. It's Radio
Like You Want.
Thank you.
Globetrotter, spanning the nine continents of the globe to bring you the finest in punk rock and garbage music.
It's the United Nations of Noise, the International Brotherhood of Rock and Roll, of Kumbaya, of Chaos and Carnage.
So join us now, live from Points Unknown, as we bring you Globetrotter.
Yes, once again, my Globetrotter comes to you from the Radio Like You Want studios in Helsinki, Finland. Tell me what we got this week.
We're traveling big, Black, going to a place that we've seldom seen, deep in the darkest Africa, the South Africa, my friend. South okay. African punk from the 70s. Can you believe this shit?
I'm telling you, Krugerrand rock.
Wild Youth. What about me?
Johnny Rotten, I don't wanna talk about a Sid Vicious. I don't wanna talk about a Joe Strummer. I just wanna talk about me. What about me? What about me? What about me? I don't wanna talk about Elvis the Pelvis. I don't wanna talk about Buddy Cochran. I don't wanna talk about David Bowie. I just wanna talk about me. What about me? What about me? What about me?
Radio Like You Want. This is John Gentile from Philly, staff writer over at punknews.org. And my job is to keep my ear to the ground for the new jams so you don't have to. And let me tell you, I've got one great new jam to bring you today. The group is called Classics of Love. They're from the Bay Area. You might not have heard of them before, but I bet you've heard of their lead singer. His name is Jesse Michaels, and he used to be in a group called Operation Ivy. Classics of Love just released an EP on Asian Man Records last year, and they're due to release a full album at the end of this year. This track has not yet been released, but I've got the hookup. It's called World of Known, and it's pretty fierce. Yeah.
the noon.
Brand new music, classics of love. You gotta love that, Mike.
Oh, it's a classic of love, and I love Blag. You know that about me. Before that, Wild Youth. What about me? From the Wild Youth 7-inch, 1979. That's our globetrotter of this episode, all the way from South motherfucking Africa.
I'm telling you, well, they came through with flying colors, early punk disc
from
South Africa.
That's the birthplace of humanity and punk. Everything came from there.
Do you think that there was like a wildebeest rock underbelly going there in
the
70s?
Prairie dog rock was a whole thing. They had all kinds of sub-genres.
Grand rock. Listen, Mike, we are taking him apart this episode. We are going all the way. We're going to be talking to the Standells. We're going to be doing a lot of the regular features. But you know what else we're going to be doing?
You sure you want to announce this on the radio?
Sodomizing the ears of the youth, Mike. We have been selected.
Well, we do that week after week, year after year.
We've been selected by the Chamber of Commerce as one of the great American businesses. I don't know how
that's
this
right.
happened.
We're actually being awarded for it. It's kind of an embarrassing thing. I don't like to brag about it.
I mean,
but,
the Chamber of Commerce has spoken. They love Radio Like You Want. PTA, we're supposed to go on a Goodwill tour, Pasadena,
South Africa.
Paso Robles, South Africa. So
all the big spots. All the spots the Standells have penetrated, Deck, in the early 60s where they did the Johnny Appleseed garage punk thing. We talked to them. We visited them. We sat down and got the inside info because we're good guys who wear white.
Standells, a classic right there on Radio Like You Want. We got the whole band sitting here with us. Start off with Larry. Introduce yourself and tell the audience.
Yeah, I'm Larry Tamblyn, and I actually created the group back in 1962.
Congratulations.
And, it seems like so long ago. And next to me is John Fleck, who joined the group in 1967. And John was responsible for writing a lot of really good songs that we did, Ryan on Sunset Strip.
Oh.
And All Fall Down, and was really, really a great member of the group.
And played a little bit in Love, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
did some time in
classic Los Angeles group. And so forth.
Yeah.
And he shot E.T., and he was the cinematographer that shot the iconic scene of E.T. flying away on the bicycle. Had great personal
experience. I was the camera operator on that. I operated, I did the
some movies with Steven. For...
He was a cameraman on E.T.
Wow. Well, we are with media royalty here, the Standells. We got to hear from the other two.
Yeah, and right next to him, the guy that was just talking is Adam Marsland.
Rounding out the
and on the very end, that's Greg Burnham.
I worked with Creed Bratton from Grassroots.
Oh, sure. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, live for today. Larry, I got to start out by asking you a question that I've always wondered about. This music, now people refer to it as maybe garage music, 60s punk. When you guys were playing it, besides rock and roll, what did you call it?
People called it rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
That's it, just rock and roll.
We did rock and roll the way we felt it. And ours was kind of a different brand. And it wasn't given the label of punk until much later in the early 80s. And then Garage came out. And so then it was labeled Garage. So now it's labeled as Garage Punk.
But you guys kind of embrace that now, don't you? As being labeled like an early garage punk band. You guys...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You like those terms, huh?
We have a lot of references on the internet as being the godfathers of punk rock. Now, a lot of the groups today seem to copy or emulate what the Standells did, back then. And we have influenced a lot of groups of today.
Just bands groups like the Cramps,
Minor Threat.
The first time I saw Minor Threat, they did Sometimes Good Guys Don't Work.
Yeah, Minor Threat. You know, there's a new group out called Vaccines. That's funny. They get on stage and they say, now we like to do the Standells. Sometimes Good Guys Don't Wear White, but we'd like to do the Minor Threat version. So we get shuffled down the line someplace.
Well, it always seemed to me that the Standells and certain of the best like American, what we call garage bands now, it was like a response to the British invasion. It wasn't a copy of the British invasion. It was like guys who'd been raised with real rock and roll and then heard the British version and kind of came through with something that was, even more uniquely American. What was your take on the whole UK-US thing?
Well, I was heavily influenced by the Beatles, so was everybody else. I mean, let's face it, until they came about, rock groups didn't exist, to any length anyway. I mean, sure, there was Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. They weren't actually a group that played their own instruments. In fact, they were session musicians. But they brought them out in front of their instruments and they became a doo-wop group. But the Beatles really made it fashionable to play your own instruments and sing and be a group. So anybody's lying to say that they weren't influenced by them. However, with that being said, we took what they did and appreciated and then and did our own kind of sound. It was a little different.
A little bit harder and heavier.
Yeah,
heavier. Made it different? Here?
Where they were singing about "Love Me Do" and all these sweet songs, we were singing about "I'm a poor boy born in a rubble."
A lot of people thought it was "poor boy born in a rubber," but we have to correct that.
Rubble.
Born in a rubble.
Wait, you got to.
There
you go.
You got to. It is. I'm probably in trouble. We're all probably in trouble a little bit.
You got to consider the acoustics back then. they didn't capture the sound very well. There was a lot of misnomers about Dirty Water, too. That's actually Lovers, Muggers, and Thieves, by the way.
Yeah. Lovers, Muggers, and Thieves.
See?
It's like the Louie Louie thing. Nobody knew what the words were.
They were bad. They were sure it was bad.
I'm going to tell you a story. Thank you.
played that, your classic Dirty Water, your first hit. You
guys recorded actually, in a garage.
Actually recorded that in a garage, right? So this whole garage moniker really makes sense.
Well, we recorded Dirty Water in a garage. It happened to be a converted garage. It was a studio, but it was still a garage. It was Armin Steiner that owned it, and he was a genius. It was in the back of his house. He had three-track equipment.
Three tracks. Wow, so what was that? You do a stereo version of the band and then a mono vocal over it?
We didn't do a stereo version. There's no stereo version that exists. When it was done in mono, it was impossible to do stereo, you know, back then with three tracks.
Well, when we came in, you guys were playing. The Standells were making a brand new record there in San Francisco at Light Rail. They've been demoing stuff down in LA. They're up here making the record. I'd say we hear a track from the Standells on Radio
Like You Want.
Saturday night, I feel down. There ain't no fun in this old town. I think I'll go back and get my kicks with some of my own. Young stupid's moving through my mind, yeah. A beat clap above number nine. Oh, yes, I'm feeling fine. Taking a trip down the old main line. Yeah, I feel good. Here it comes again. Are you ready? A smoking color.
And sing, you big ham bone.
Good, I'll try to get your record contract.
Going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
Going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
They got some crazy little women there, and I'm going to get me one. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine.
Oh,
yeah. In my Kansas City, baby, in my jug of Kansas City wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane, but if I have to walk, I'm going just the same. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one before I'm done. Woman, I know I'm gonna die. Find a friendly baby, and that's the reason why I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. They got some crazy little women there, I'm gonna get me one. Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Stan Dells right there with Kansas City featuring Bing Crosby on vocals. Larry, how
was
the story?
Well, you know, when the Beatles were out, they were looking for, you know, a good-looking group for the TV shows. A lot of them were rushing to find Beatle-type groups out. And it was kind of hard to find because they were just getting started back then. And the Stan Dells happened to have an agent that was in show business, and he was in touch with all of these different shows. And Bing Crosby was one of them. That was a Desilu production. And they called the Stan Dells to do it, way before the Stan Dells had a hit record. We played the part of a fictional group called the Love Bugs.
Yeah. I think I had that.
We had a lot of fan mail for the Love Bugs. You know, almost changed our name. We acted in it and did a couple of original songs. And then we had one part of it was when Bing sang with us. And that was just really a thrill, you know, to have him on stage with us. But we were getting ready to do the song, and you know, they were the director said roll the tape, and so we were getting ready to do Kansas City, and all of a sudden I started singing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And Bing Crosby, you should have seen the look on his face.
Are you kidding?
Who is this punk?
He says you're putting me on.
Of course, another cool appearance you guys did was on the Munsters, and then you actually covered a Beatles song in that episode, right?
Yeah, well, that was a thrill, you know, being on the Munsters. That was my favorite show at the time, so it was
everybody's favorite show. Still is.
Let me tell you what happened with that. We recorded that on a studio stage. They had one mic for everything, for the vocals, for the instruments, everything, and they wanted all the guys. They insisted that everybody sing, because the Beatles all sang, so they insisted everybody sang.
Oh, right.
Well, we had one guy in the group that couldn't sing very well, and he was closest to the mic. And so that's why it's kind of embarrassing.
Hey, it's the Munsters.
When the Stan Dells would play a show in the 60s, would you tend to put on a concert, or was it more like a team dance and you'd do a lot of covers and stuff like that? What was the vibe usually?
We did both, didn't we, John?
Yeah.
We did teen concerts. We did, there's a big hullabaloo club that we did. And
we did a lot of that, where the action shows, too.
This is John Fleck. He's an original.
He's a killer.
Because I always feel like rock bands are boring now. You know, they come out, they play for an hour, they do all original songs, they do all their own stuff. And it seems like back in the 60s, it was more like a show. You know, you'd have a bunch of good groups, and they'd do their good songs, and that was it. And get out. So what were you trying to do?
Yeah.
are surrounded by rock and roll royalty here. We've been talking to the Standells. And guys, we got a dirty show, so I got to ask you some dirty questions. Tell me about the drugs, the sex, the revolution in Los Angeles. Tell me about the naughty ass shit that went down with the Standells. Did you guys just grab three birds at a throw, take them back to the Hyatt, and just make it happen? Tell me what went on,
you
Larry.
Pioneer Chicken was fairly clean. For the reputation we had, we were, I hate to tell you, we were a relatively clean group. It doesn't, yeah. doesn't mean that we didn't, you know, we didn't gather all the groupies, you know, every chance we could get. Because they were for the taking, you know.
So sex was pretty loose. It was out there. People were getting it on
was
there.
Was it loose?
Well, they were getting. I mean, Standells opened for the Stones.
Yeah.
For the Standells opened for the Rolling Stones on their second tour here.
I mean, I remember one was up in Canada. There was like a big, crowd of all these girls out there, you know. And literally, you'd go out and say, "Let's see, I'll take you, the redhead over there, yeah, and oh yeah, the blonde back there, come on up, you know." Nice. And they come back down, and oh yeah, let's see, next we'll take you.
See, why do we live in this era?
I know, messed up big.
It's not fair.
It was all a new thing back then.
All a new thing.
The big concerts were all new. The kids came out. It was the first first time deal for a lot of these kids.
So now were the Stones getting all gacked up on coke? Were they shooting up?
We were just talking about this. You know, they were with them for over a month, and it was a chartered two-engine plane, and. And I tell you, that plane could have flown without the engines. those guys, I am absolutely amazed that any of them are alive today.
Wow. So the Stones party.
So they were hitting it hard back then, second tour.
I mean, they were into everything. You name it. I mean, they were sniffing amyl nitrates. You know, they were... God, they were doing everything.
Well, only gay guys on dance floors do that now. did you guys trip out? I mean, tell me about your 60s, your riot on Sunset Strip. Did you find yourself wandering up and down Sunset Strip, tripping and getting a whole new feel on...
There was really no riot on Sunset Strip. It was a bunch of hippies out there, and the cops beat up on them. That was the riot, I guess. And, yeah. You know, that really wasn't a riot. And. The movie that we did was Sam Katzman, and he just he was a movie hack, and he took like a couple months to throw that thing together and capitalize on it. So it was an exploitation movie, and I mean, God, when you think about it, I mean, I love the movie. Don't get me wrong, that's one of my favorite movies, but for the wrong reasons. I like it like I like Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Right, right. That's so bad.
I'm going down to the strip tonight. I'm not on a stay-home trip tonight. Long hair seems to be the main attraction, but the heat is causing all the action. Bright lights everywhere, pretty girls with long, long hair, but somehow the people, they don't care. Lights everywhere, pretty girls with long blonde hair.
got pissed off when the Standells did a little track called Try It. This record got banned all over the place, and really, you guys were known as one of the snottiest middle finger punk bands forevermore because of this song. Tell me about Try It.
You know, actually, nobody got pissed off but the right-wing moral majority people, which we didn't give a damn if they got pissed off at all. But this guy by the name of Gordon McClendon was a real right-wing, one of those born-again people, and he very powerful radio mogul out of Dallas. You know, they all come out of Dallas, by the way. And he happened to be friends with, some of the other John Bircher right-wingers. And he decided, he owned KLIF, and that was a very powerful radio station back then. And he decided to start this committee in the decency and record lyrics. And what they did is they came out and said, we refuse to play anything that we deem obscene or has drug connotations in it or anything else. And they proceeded to use the Standells as an example. The reason is because the Standells weren't as big as somebody like the Stones, who had Let's Spend the Night Together out, you know.
Right, right.
But he could actually, with us, he could go around, show our record on the news. He actually did. He made a national tour and showed it around the country and said, this record is obscene, and we recommend that no radio stations play it. And everybody was scared of him, and a lot of them wouldn't play it because this man said so.
Now, for Try It, were you trying to get people to try dope? Were you trying to get people to have sex with you? What were you trying to do?
Do you want me to repeat the lyrics to you?
I would love it. Let me
tell you what the lyrics are. By the way you look, I can tell that you want some action. Action is my middle name. Come over here, pretty girl, and I'll give you satisfaction.
Okay.
For two are needed for this game. I'll give you sweet love you've never had before. Isn't that terrible?
That is horrible.
You want to try it?
You know, Art Linkletter heard about this, and he had us on his show. He had House Party, and he had a debate portion of it called Let's Talk. And he had us on debating McClendon. It was done at the Hullabaloo Club, full of teenagers. And we did our homework about McClendon, you know, before going in. This man was not a good man, like a lot of them, you know.
Right,
he had
sure.
a lot of skeletons in the closet.
Wow, so did you pull him out?
Nobody would talk. They talked, but they wouldn't give us their names or anything because they were employees and they didn't want to get fired. But we learned an awful lot. So every time it looked like he might have got something that was halfway intelligent, you know, somebody from the audience would yell out, "Hey, what about this, McClendon? And what about that?"
Wow.
and his face would turn red, you know.
That's great. Yeah. That's so great you guys got the opportunity to do that.
Face-to-face,
rip a mask right off of them.
We really massacred them, and they edited it to look like it was more even than it was. We, John and I especially, we really went after them.
This is like an hour-long debate.
Yeah, it was an hour-long debate, and we were really nailing them. Well, Mr. Clinton, what is birds do it and bees do it about?
We did a record called Blood, Guts, and Pussy, but that's all right.
Because you had guys like this.
That's right. We had the Standells pave the way, and we are going to pump Try It right now. Try It.
On radio.
Like you want.
All right, baby. It's all right. I'm going to tell you something, and you better listen. Want some action? Action is my middle name. Come over here, pretty girl. I'll give you satisfaction. But two are needed for this game. I'll give you sweet love you never had before. Yeah. You think you've seen it all, but you don't know what's in store. Side.
You guys have recorded or are presently recording some new stuff. I'm assuming this is original stuff that you've written.
Yeah.
Tell me what we can expect from this new record, because when I was listening through, I could have swore it was 65 when we were busting down.
Yeah,
this,
it's
this
pretty
is
cool.
Real garage rock.
That makes our listeners that we were recording this interview in the studio. The Standales were nice enough to invite us down, so we got a little sneak peek at what you guys are doing live. Yeah. It sounds fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the process
that makes
of making
us
this
feel
record.
Good. You know, we really pride ourselves in sounding like the Standales of the 60s.
Got all the vintage equipment.
Yeah, all the vintage equipment.
And actually, the Telecaster is also the same kind that Tony Valentino, the original guitar player,
yeah, there's
plays.
You guys are going to tape and everything?
A lot of the stuff we're doing here, yeah, we're doing analog. But some of the stuff we did down in L.A. was digital, but we did it in a real garage, so that makes up for that.
We actually started it in the garage, absolutely.
And with no air conditioning, I might add.
100 degrees.
Yeah. Garage songs were noted for their simple guitar licks and hooks in a lot of the songs. And they were just simple things. A lot of people said, Dirty Water was the first song I learned on guitar,
Sure.
And that's cool. And so we're trying to stay in that mode. We've got another one that's it's called Mr. 1%.
Yeah, Larry's too.
And it's a Standales typical class struggle thing,
right.
Because it's really going after the richest 1% of the nation, which we all know about now.
But they're the job creators.
Yeah, right.
We
call shit.
Yeah,
give them more money,
jobs.
Give them more breaks. That's what we're seeing on the record. You know, you're getting all the breaks, you're getting it all, and I get it in the ass,
But it's not like we're going out of our way to be political, because there's plenty of songs about getting laid or the failure to get laid. But
you still got that good beat, good stuff to put on at a frat party. Put Louie Louie on.
You can riot to it.
Do we have a name for the new record?
The one we were just working on was written by John and Greg called Bumpin' the Night. We don't have an album title yet. If that's
all
what
right.
you mean.
Well, maybe our listeners can come up with one. We've been talking to the Standales. They are rock and roll legends. They are back. They are badder than ever. And they are just kicking ass, taking names, and destroying it here in the 2011.
Thanks, everybody. Let's get out of here with a little more Standales on radio.
You want.
Turn for the Ugly. Wasn't that the name of your high school yearbook, Mike?
Wasn't that the name of your first
Standales
love?
The Standales Underground Under Wraps. We can only give you a little taste, but they are coming back. They're in the studio as we speak, cranking out brand new classics. Thank you to the Standales for taking us into the studio.
That's right. Bad Little Girl is the name of that snippet we just heard. That's a demo coming off of their new release. And we thank them so much for inviting us down. Run through the tracks we heard during that interview segment. Try It before that. Riot on Sunset Strip. Medication. Kansas City with Bing Crosby? I mean, are you kidding me?
With Bing Crosby.
With Bing, once you get
doesn't
Bing
get much more
on your records.
Establishment than that.
That's so awesome.
I love that.
Love that. Mainline before that one, Dirty Water. Let me start the whole thing off with their classic. Sometimes good guys don't wear white.
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Sometimes they do. I mean, they often like to.
That's right. I mean, you can't really generalize about the color that people
wear. You know, I didn't want to start a whole dust up, but I was really going to press them on that. Like, what the fuck? In fact, I have a whole... Oh, my God.
You see, we always get interrupted right before the important
shit.
Shit.
It is.
I am woman. Hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore.
Too big
and
to ignore, Mike.
Like your mom.
Good evening.
Tell
me all
time
about
once again for the touching, caring, gentler, pouting, supple side of Radio Like You Want.
It's that time of the week again, Mike.
What are we hearing, Blag?
Well, this week we have spared no expense. We're bringing you Amy and her lovely Merry Widows, the Merry Widows, doing Up Yours Radio.
Like you want.
Just take these words to heart. If you think I give a fuck, well, baby, you're just out of luck. I'm yours! I'm yours! I'm yours! I learned a long time ago, your top will come, your top will go. Somehow I'll make it through.
Garage. Just one. A mighty Ed Cobb production. Ed wow. Cobb did a lot of those Standells tracks. He also did this track for San Jose's Chocolate Watch Band. Mm-hmm. It's It Came from the Garage on Radio.
Like You Want!
Listen, keep on doing dope, keep on getting high and fucking each other. You might just get lucky and be as brilliant as Amy Winehouse.
Doubt it. You can try. You can never stop trying. What you got to do, though, is head on over to RadioLikeYouWant.com. Download all our podcasts, this one and more. Give us a holler, 415-351-9662. Leave us a message. Tell us what you're doing. Send us a track at interviews like at RadioLikeYouWant.com. Blag, it's time for us to get the hell up on out of here.
Amy Winehouse. Right on, baby. Knock 'em dead.
Yeah.
Sweet reunion, Jamaica and Spain. We're like how we were again.
Greedy, worldwide.